Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration today are found in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us apart from this world. Sanctify us. Make us to be holy in your sight by your blessed word, which is the truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, there's something that's especially appealing about the life that's portrayed in magazines and in commercials. Travel agencies, for example, sometimes will advertise for exotic locations, how you can stay in a luxurious hotel or go on a beautiful cruise and think about the life that you would get to lead if you got to do that. It's appealing. Colleges and universities, they will advertise quite a lot, and you'll see pictures of bright-eyed students studying and cheering on the team. And then you'll see some pictures of how they have fulfilling careers out in the world after they've graduated. They're wonderful pictures, but they're really only pictures about potential. They're meant to get us to sort of daydream about what might be possible. And they're meant to grab our attention and inspire us to hopefully buy some product from them. There's a picture out there that I think is really appropriate for this Sunday. It's a picture of Jesus walking in front of a flock of sheep about knee deep in this beautiful green field. And he's got a lamb in his arm, and he's looking down at the lamb. The artist had in mind to depict Jesus' great love for us, and that's very admirable. But when Jesus spoke the words of our text today to his disciples, that's not at all the picture that his disciples would have had in mind when he spoke to them about the Good Shepherd. In Jesus' day, first of all, you have to know that sheep were currency. So people thought about them that way. Sheep were also not grazed and lush farmlands. That was far too valuable to the Israelites. Instead, the sheep would be taken up onto rocky hillsides, and they would graze up there. Psalm 23, when it speaks about green pastures, it's thinking about those slopes up above the fields where they would take the sheep, and they really weren't as green as you might think. They sort of look like Sarah Peak over here after this year's rains. There's sort of a green tint to it. That's how the hills look in Palestine. And the shepherd would lead the sheep up onto these hills, narrow paths, and the sheep would go along, and the shepherd would take them to a place where there were little tufts of grass sticking out among the rocks, and the sheep would eat. And then he would take them back down at night to the sheep pen to protect them. And then the next day he would take them out to somewhere different where there was still some grass, where they could have fresh forage for the day. That's the picture that people had in mind when Jesus spoke these words. That's how sheep herding went in those days. This picture is, I think, pretty different from the glossy image that we have of the shepherd in the green pasture. But remember, Jesus is not a photo op kind of guy. He was not trying to give such a beautiful picture that he would convince people to come into his flock and follow him. He gave us this picture of the work, this very realistic picture of the work, to lead us into a better understanding of what he was doing and how his work in this world is carried out. First of all, I want you to notice that when Jesus lays this picture before his disciples, they're given the very clear impression that apart from the good shepherd, the sheep were always going to be in danger. They'd always be in danger. Whether it was from the thief who would come and steal them at night, we'd call him a rustler, come to steal the sheep at night, or whether it was the hired hand or the wolf. It was always danger apart from the shepherd. The thief has in mind to steal the sheep and to take them out of the fold and to take them away from the good shepherd. And that thief is thinking about the sheep as currency. Remember, that's how sheep were used back then. He looks at congregation members as currency. This is a false teacher. That's what Jesus is talking about here. The false teacher wants to steal you away from God's word. He wants to steal you away and have you follow him. And there are plenty of folks like that today. Plenty of folks who preach this really glossy, wonderful message that's meant to entice you to come to them. Preachers that count their own worth by how many people they have following them, by the numbers. They don't care a whit about the sheep. And then there are the hired hands. The hired hands, they don't care about the sheep. They're just there to do their job. They run away at the first sight of danger. Jesus paints that picture very clearly. He's speaking about unfaithful pastors. Pastors who will run away at the sign of danger. Pastors who think of their job and their ministry as just something that they do to put food on the table, and they think about the parishioners as a means to an end. They too, those hired hands, they can be encouraging and positive too. But they don't have your best interests in mind. Then there's the wolf. The wolf's a little different. The wolf is there for the kill. The wolf is the devil and his demons. And their designs are nothing more than hatred and revenge toward God. They can be sneaky. They stalk their prey at night. They howl fearsomely and scatter the sheep at times, all so that they can have a meal. So the thief, the hired hands, the wolf, they all come to take. That's what they have in common. You're valuable in their eyes, but not because they love you. On the other hand, you have the good shepherd. The good shepherd doesn't come in to take or to use the sheep. He is no thief. The good shepherd already owns the sheep. He is no hired hand. He has paid for the sheep with his own body and blood. And he has this proven track record, a track record of love. He didn't run when love called him to make the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. The good shepherd desires that you not die. He desires to keep you safe He desires that you have abundant life. God doesn't sneak around trying to ensnare people or convince people to make you his own. He doesn't howl and hunt after you like the wolf. It's true that he might shout once in a while when you put yourself in danger. His law can be a fearsome thing at times. He warns you of the danger that you're in through that law. His commandments are loud and clear and point out to us the dangers. But they're there to steer us away from running headlong in that direction. But more importantly, you know his voice, his still small whisper. When he preaches the gospel to you and says, "Peace be with you," you hear that voice. You know his voice. You know who it is, and you are comforted by him. You know that he will not lead you astray. Though the hillsides of this world are barren as can be, you trust that day after day, he will lead you to green pastures and still waters. He will lead you there. Now, this picture is not one of ease. This isn't rolling around in an alfalfa field with all you can eat. He leads you through barren places to where you need to be, to where there is food for your soul, and that food is his word. Nothing else in this world has any nutritional value for your soul. God has provided a lot of things for your earthly life, and we live in a land of great abundance, and so we're surrounded all the times, at all times by most of the things that we need for this life. But no matter what material things you have, no matter what education you have received, your soul cannot live on those things. You might as well be eating rocks. The motivational specialists who are out there, they might be able to help you do a better job at work. They sound great, exciting, but there's nothing there for your soul. The scholars, well, they might know how certain things in this world work, and they might be able to explain that to you so that maybe you can do some things here in this world. But remember that this world will soon pass out of your life entirely. The wealthy can teach you to earn more and to hold on to what you have. But that kind of green is no pasture for your soul. Listen to your good shepherd. He speaks to you every day for the salvation of your soul. He speaks words of forgiveness for the sins that you've done and for the good things that you've left undone. He shows you that he really did lay down his life for you and that he picked it up again. The good shepherd shows you that he is your God and Savior, that he cares about you, that he loves you, that he would die for you, and he did die for you, and that he would rise again for your eternal life. He values you because he loves you. He cares about what happens to you. He thinks about you all the time. That's why he has brought you into the sheep pen of his church. That's why he fences you round about with his love and defends you from false teaching and defends you from those who would use you for their own purposes. He even defends you from the devil and the demons. You've probably heard these words before. It's common for somebody to talk to you about how you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I think that's an interesting thing to think about, because that's not how the Good Shepherd speaks. There's never any thought of you being a lone sheep just having a one-on-one relationship with God, never apart from the flock. The shepherd wants you to know that he has brought you together to keep you safe, to protect you, to feed you. The Lord fences you round about within his congregation because he wants you to be safe. Here he will lead you daily to the green pastures of his word. Here you will find those quiet waters of his baptism, holy baptism, that washes away your sins. Here is where he comes to give you his body and blood, the very body and blood that won for you forgiveness and life and salvation. That's all for you. He wants you to die and rise again daily in your baptism with him. He wants his powerful word to strengthen your faith so that you listen to him and are not out there wandering alone. This is where you belong. This is where you will hear the voice of your good shepherd. Now, it's true you can certainly hear his voice when you read the scriptures on your own. But don't do that apart from your congregation. Don't forsake this blessed gathering that he has brought you into. This is where you may live in peace and quietness. This is where you are defended. So when should we fear the thief? When should we fear the hired hand? When should we fear the wolf? Well, listen to what your good shepherd says here. They are going to come, the thieves, and they're going to tempt, and they're going to coax you with all kinds of interesting words, but they have nothing for you. They cannot lead you to the green pastures. When should we fear the hired hand? Well, you don't need to fear them either. Even though they might take up their residence right within the sheepfold and do their work there, fleecing the flock, you need nothing that they want to take from you. It's not right. But they might even speak the Lord's word. Think about that. And remember that the Lord even made Balaam's donkey speak the truth once. Don't listen to such people. But when they preach God's word, listen to that word, because that is your nourishment for eternal life, even though it is not what that hired hand believes. How about the wolf? When should we fear him? He's ferocious. He is powerful. He would tear you limb from limb if he could. But the good shepherd protects you. The one who cannot be killed, the one who has died and risen again, he cannot die. He defends you. Now, no picture can do justice to all of this, because life is never a two-dimensional glossy print. Life's very real. Suffering is difficult. Dealing with the daily issues that we run into is hard. And for real life, you don't want a glossy print of the Good Shepherd. You need the real thing, the real Savior who has lived life like you have, only without sin, who has given that life for you and who loves you and will never forsake you, but always lead you to green pastures and still waters. You are a member of his flock. Think about that. He wants to lead you out and bring you back in. You know his voice. You hear him when he preaches to you. And he is leading you from this place to eternity. Fellow redeemed, you are his sheep. He is your good shepherd. You hear his voice, and you know it. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.